Church life, but it's about our life as we live our life, and that we are able to encourage some of our non-believers, and they wonder why we encourage them. But it is part of our duty, it is part of our calling as believers in Christ Jesus, because we have a sure and certain hope that allows us to function as those who lift up those tired arms, as those who bear up the burdens that others are have nowhere to place those burdens. They don't know Jesus in any way, and so they'll gravitate to you at times, and you are then responsible. And you think, well, where's this all fitting in with an armour bearer? But that is part of the principles of a squire and an armour bearer, to be able to gird up, to learn to strengthen, and to be a support, and to be, in one sense, a watchman, to see these things and be ready to do what is needed to be done. I'll bring a little instance in that. Bill's been doing some of this last few months, in that he's been going around and interviewing different people on behalf of the BBC, interviewing people who were involved in the war years and getting their personal stories. And to some, it has been an encouragement to be able to share their story, hasn't it? And it's been a blessing to Bill, and Bill's been able to put it all together, in his, and some of it was on Radio Sheffield last night, and we heard you, Bill. and through all his hard work, and he's been going on a number of months, he'll be able to get his autograph later.
I won't talk to anybody who weren't listening.
some of us were struggling to find Radio Sheffield, I'll tell you. Yeah, well, no, and it took me ages to get it, and I finally found it. I even went on the internet and still could not find the frequency on the internet. I thought, well, this is hopeless, this is. So I sat in the car in the freezing cold, pressing buttons, trying to, you know, I mean, we live in a bit of a dead area on for Radio Sheffield, and finally I hit it somehow with a radio in the house and was able to locate it. And then the guy said, oh, and in short while Bill Ross will be coming to talk. I thought, I haven't missed him, because I thought he'd be on to me. I'd rung Philip, I'd rung Ken, and they couldn't find it, so, but anyway, we succeeded. But at the same time, Bill was also given a medal. He was presented with a medal. Have you brought it with you tonight? Oh, I said bring it tonight. Anyway, I've got a photograph of him, you see, being presented for all his hard work. So.
Well, what did it start last night?
Oh, yeah, really?
I didn't know that. Somebody told me this morning. Did you see it start last night? I said, no, I didn't buy Dribble Light.
And you're in it.
Well,
you're in
it. My name was first.
Was it really? There you go. He's even, you know, you need to have a close look at that. I've never seen him looking so smart.
Oh, I think I have to give him a round of applause.
Yeah. Well, expect to see him one Sunday in his best bib and tucker, actually, now. But, yeah, now we know he's got one. So, but, you know, again, Bill's been able to be an encouragement to people, haven't you? I'm sure you've had stories and people have thanked you and been grateful for the way you presented things, I believe. So, and it's been a blessing. No, I haven't seen that yet. No. Right, so. Oh, you've put your part of your testament. Right.
Whoa.
Excellent. Good. Good. So praise God. And so, you know, it's been an opportunity. So sometimes it's not a case of just encouraging in church, but it is encouraging beyond where church stops, really. And but it is in our learning and our training together that we are able to encourage and support and help others. And I'm going to bring some other things out in a little, just a little while. Some things I've been looking for on the internet.
The main theme of this question is that Scripture is pretty famous about Bloomberg. It's all based around that.
God inspired that, isn't it?
And, you know, I mean, even the smallest thing can lead to something great. You don't know what just a few words can do or create. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was. You know, I mean, you can take that, you can move it on from there. And so it's exciting in that there is great opportunity as we are prepared to apply ourselves. And the most difficult part is the process of applying ourselves to what God is laying before us, accepting it and beginning to apply it in our lives is sometimes a greater challenge than like maybe God saying, "I want you to go and be a missionary." I think, is that true? Yeah, it is, I'll tell you. Because sometimes there's God brings something and he expects you to, you know, apply it and bring a great obedience in your life. And that's some of the things that we can wrestle with that cause us to struggle with things at times. And so God is at work developing and creating and forming his people. Today I spent half a day with some 20-25 ministers in the local area, listening to the Word of God being shared, and it's just sharing visions and getting to know one another and spending time together and encouraging one another and praying for one another. And so that was a real encouragement and a blessing today. And to see that the people are beginning to drop badges, drop doctrinal issues, and are beginning to seek Jesus and the truth of living the life. The interesting thing was today that something that really sort of, I have a vague memory of it once I'd been reminded, was that there's a young man named Andy Webster. My dad will remember Andy Webster at Doncaster Assemblies of God. Yeah, and he was a little older than me, and I remember we went to a youth rally, and he reminded me today about it, that we went to a youth rally out at Thurnscoe, because we were talking about how there were so many activities that were happening for the youth. Part of it, some of it was self-generated, but churches were functioning in that area and way. And I remember, Andrew reminded me that he went out to an altar call, and they prayed for him, and there was such an anointing that a ministry of the word that came over him, that afterwards he reminded me that I went up to him and said, "Bah, you got a real blessing tonight, didn't you?" And he said back to me, he said, "Yeah, everybody did." And I said, "No," I said, "You got a real blessing," and it stuck with him. And then, regretfully, during the next few months, he backslid and went off and did his own thing, and moved out the area, went into the armed forces, and then he arrived back in Doncaster a number of years later. And the strange thing was that somehow Grace and I arrived at his door just as he and somebody else were going out to the pub. I didn't know that. And he reminds me, and I don't remember this, I don't remember this, but he said, when I saw him that night, I reminded him of all those years ago at Thurnscoe, how God spoke into his life and was prophesying into his life about his future. And he says, he reminded me right there and then. He says, "Now I went off to the pub, you know, but," he says, "it started to work again." Now he's in the ministry. He's out of Rosington, pastoring the workout in Rosington. I didn't give him the word. I just have to remind him. But the strange thing is, I don't remember reminding him. But you see, it's about even the smallest things, and the things that you don't even remember that you've done. But all you did was hear the Spirit, you said what you needed to say, you shared that word, and suddenly it became an undergirding and a support to that person that then carried them and lifted them back to where God wanted them to be. And so we have many parts to play in the kingdom. We have many parts to play as armor bearers and squires in God's kingdom. And it is a kingdom. It is not a democracy. It is a kingdom. It is about him ruling and reigning. It is about his authority being placed and carried on the shoulders of men and women, and that people will follow that and that anointing. And I was encouraged and by the fact that Zena said, you know, for instance, Elijah, Elisha, the time that they spent together was some 40 years. Now, I must admit, I'd never sat and calculated it and looked at it in any depth, but I knew it was a good number of years, but I didn't realise it was quite 40 years. And that's quite a challenge. Joshua and Moses, somewhere in the time span of 40 to 45 years. Now, I'm not saying that's what God's going to do here and with us, but there are so many people who, you know, we open a jar, don't we, and we take a spoon and we put the coffee grains into a cup and we pour boiling water and we have instantly a cup of coffee. And even then we complain, what took you so long, you know, don't we, you know, instant this, instant that, and we still can't wait, and it creeps into our spiritual life. God, what's taking you so long? Why is it taking you so long, God? And usually he's trying to line you and me up in the right way.
40 years is only a blink of an eye to God, isn't it?
It's nothing to God. To us it seems a long time, but to God it is nothing. You see, God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us, and his intention is that he has to prepare us, and how quick we are prepared to get prepared, that is up to us. That's how we, that's in our responses and our reaction to some degree to God and to his word as it moves in our lives. And now we will apply ourselves. And so that again, it falls back to you and I. I jumped on the internet again today, and I typed in squires and knighthood and things like that. And I came up with this interesting little document here, Becoming a Knight. I thought, this is interesting. I know we're talking about armor bearers, but you have to remember that when the King James translation was being translated, the historical background was about knights and armor. I know the times had just were in the process of change, but the historical references were very much to knights, and we were living in that, as it was being translated, it was living to some degree in that state and generation. How to become a knight. When a high-born boy reached the age of 7, he was sent to live in a castle of another lord. There you go, if you were high-born, you went to somebody else's castle to live in a castle, a drafty castle. Usually a close friend of his father or relative, and they began his education as a page, running errands in the castle and performing humble services for noblemen and ladies. He learned good manners, reading, writing, numbers, singing, dancing, strumming the lute, and reverence for God. How to use a sword, how to ride a horse. In the morning he helped his lord dress and served at meals, bringing in food and drink. Around the age of 13, the boy was apprenticed to a knight. and became a squire. He was taught skills with sword, lance, shield, and he learned the duties and responsibilities of a knight. Squires engaged in mock battles against each other and against dummies. If the squire hit the dummy exactly in the centre, it fell over. If he hit it anywhere else, it would swing round and smack the erring squire in the back. I can see, I remember some of the films made, you know, where they hit this thing and the thing used to spin round and, you know, knock them off the horse, etc. And I thought, yeah, it's, and so it was about training to be accurate, training to be right, you know, and precise, and honing the skills. And so he was going through this process. Squires also served their mentors. He looked after his master's horses, polished his weapons and armour, and served him at meals. As the squire grew older, he was expected to follow his master into battle and to protect his master if the knight fell in battle. Some squires became knights for performing outstanding deeds on the battlefield, but most were knighted at home by their lord or father when they were trained, when their training was judged to be complete. When the squire was judged ready to become a knight, usually between 18 and 21, a time for the knighting ceremony was set. On the night before the ceremony, the squire would take a cleansing bath, fast, and would make confession. He would spend the whole night in the chapel praying to God for guidance in his journey as a knight. And the next morning, he dressed in white and entered the crowded hall with his sword strung around his neck. The priest would bless the sword, and then the squire knelt before his lord, often the knight who had trained him. And the lord asked the squire his reason for wanting to become a knight, and if the lord was satisfied with his answer, the knight agreed to perform the ceremony, and the ladies and the knights would then dress the squire in new armour, and the squire again knelt before the lord, and the lord would then take the sword and tap him lightly on the shoulders three times and made a short declaration as such: in the name of God and Saint George, I make thee a knight. Knighthood was about more than just fighting. It was also about chivalry. Hear that, young people? It's about chivalry, etiquette, manners, which sadly our generation, I'm not talking against you, but sadly our generation has lost it. You know, opening a door for a lady, you might say, well, the ladies don't want the door opening for them. Well, tough, offer it. Just because somebody doesn't necessarily want it, that does not mean it ain't right. No. Is it? And you know, I see some good things, for instance, when you go to the States and you see people, you see you see it on the Kenneth Copeland videos, the Jerry Seville videos. If a lady is going to the platform, you'll see there that there is, if there are stairs, that there is somebody there, a gentleman, to assist that lady as she climbs the stairs. Is that right? Yeah. If she's coming down, the same thing. There is always somebody there, and it's a form of, it's a form of honouring. It's a form of serving. He's been a squire. He's been a squire. You say, well, he's only serving this lady who may be, who is she? Well, she may be the lady of the night who's ministering. She may be a lady who has been ministered to by the night and is bringing a word of testimony. But we as believers serve the body. And so we have to learn to serve. And you know, I certainly feel that in the coming days, we, all of us, every one of us, and I speak to myself, need to lift our standards in those areas. We should set the standards, not conform to the world's standards. Tonight, on the news, they tell me that as from tonight, you can keep a pub open as long as you want and drink till your wallet's empty. I'm sure that's good for our nation, and I'm being sarcastic. And then In the next breath, we have our Prime Minister, who is also then coming to a point where he says we are going to have laws that say we will have no tolerance to drunkenness, etc. And yet, in the next breath, antisocial behaviour, and yet in the next breath, we give them opportunity to be antisocial. You know, what, can we be consistent? I don't know. But that's where the church has to come in, and that's where the church has to come to a point of consistency. And that is where we have to come to a place that we will learn to bear arms, not to go to war in the sense physically, but we need to learn to bear arms in the realm of the spirit, and to bear arms ethically and practically with our own, with people that we come into contact with. And I say this because in the next few weeks we are all of us going to come into contact with people at our Christmas dinner who are unbelievers, and they will watch every one of us. They will watch how we interact with one another. They will watch how we support and how we undergird one another, and they will judge. Rightly or wrongly, they will judge. They may get the wrong impression. You got one shot at this, haven't we? We have one shot probably at this one. People will watch us. I want to encourage you that you can be a great blessing. It's not to try and put pressure on you, but you know, it's like, you know, I'm going to bless these people. I'm going to serve these people. I'm going to show them what the kingdom of God is all about. And prove to them that, you know, there is a God who is a loving, caring God, and that his heart flows towards people, and that his heart flows through his people. And that is part of our ministry and part of our mission. We have to win people by our outward actions and do it that way. Back to the night. Knighthood was more about was about more than just fighting, but it was also about chivalry. At the beginning of the Middle Ages, this meant good horsemanship, and by the year 1100, it had become a whole new way of life. Knights were expected to be brave, honourable, to uphold the honour of women, and to protect the weak. Tales of chivalry were very popular during the Middle Ages, but even so, many knights failed to live up to these high standards. We need to support, we need to undergird one another, we need to protect one another. It's important. We are the onslaught of the enemy is against us, and you know, we're at the beginning of a powerful age when we can see the things of God being made manifest and things changing. And that, you know, we have in Ephesians 6, it tells about putting on the armour of God. God has prepared for us all that we need, but it's learning to submit ourselves to what he has for us, and learning to walk day by day, learning to handle the armour, learning to handle the weaponry, learning to feel comfortable in that situation, knowing that God is on our side and that to do us good, and that we will bring together the things of the kingdom of God into people's lives, and that we will show them the things of God that are powerful and mighty and are strong for the pulling down of strongholds of the enemy that would seek to come against us. And that we're not out to kill people. A squire's job was not out to kill knights, but it was out to protect them. And our job is to protect each other, to be a covering for one another. As we move on later on, at the beginning of this next year, as we move into that, we will carry on with phase two of the book. I know Bill probably read the second half before anybody else ever read it. And Bill has some comments, and he said to me when we started this, "Oh, can I bring them? Can I bring them?" And I said, "No, Will, you can't." I said, because we're going to have to do one. I said, and you'll start on two. I said, I want you to hold those and to be able to bring those, some of those out as we move into volume two. So let's just keep reminding him and giving him a reminder on that one, really. So Because he actually sent me an email some time ago with all the things that had jumped out to him, that really sort of encouraged him. And because when he was away in the States one time, everybody there that he went with had a prophetic word prayed over him, and Bill went here, there and everywhere with them and was invisible. and he came back, and I know how he came back. He came back frustrated, felt unblessed, felt unwanted. Isn't that right? You know, I felt God weren't there going to speak to him, and I've been all that distance, and I've taken so and so, and I've paid for so and so to go, and they got prophesied and blessed, and I've got nothing, and I've come all the way back here, you know. And we were out talking, and suddenly God gave me a word for him. And you know, I suddenly realised afterwards, that after we'd spoken about what God had shared with him, that there was a book as well. And a few days later, it was volume 2 of this, because volume this wasn't available at that time. It was volume 2. I said, I really feel you need to read this. And it was what God was wanting to say to him. And I thank God for him. You know, I thank God for him. Thank God for all of you. I'm not putting anybody down. You know, but as we begin to just let God do what he wants to do, as we begin to just follow, you know, some of us were prophesied over when GC and Bish were over that time, and we're going to run through those again with you, and just see where we're at, how far we've got with it, and just see where we've arrived at, and see where the next step is that we need to go, and what is the next thing that needs to be somehow opened up for us to move forward in God, in our preparations as squires, armor bearers, servants as unto the Lord, because that's what we are. And as we serve, you know, and Jesus is in every one of us. Amen. And so if we serve in the Lord Jesus, we're serving each other. Mm. And some people say, well, I don't like so and so. Well, tough, because you're going to have to learn to like the Christ in them. Amen. And that, you know, is not always easy. Mm. But the challenges of God are not meant to be easy. It was like even today, it was sort of said, you know, who's volunteering for the fiery furnace? Nobody. Nobody's volunteering for a fiery furnace. And yet read the story. And all that ever gets burnt away in the fiery furnace is the bondages. Our problems, our difficulties, the things that hold us back, that's what gets burnt away and destroyed. And yet we don't volunteer. And we need to learn to listen to volunteer. And we need to realise that for every one of us there is a price to pay. And as far as God's concerned, there is no price too high. Because he gave the ultimate price, which was his only precious, sinless son, to die on a cruel cross that was beaten and marred beyond all recognition, that you and I might enter into the kingdom of God, that you and I might have a life of blessing, wholeness and fullness, a life of joy, power and pleasure in him, that will bring us into a deeper relationship with the Father. And that's what God gave to us. He gave us so much through the death of his Son. And so in one sense, to give what we have is of nothing. And our life, whether we live 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, whatever it happens to be, or 120. Amen? As some were saying last week. Fine, that's all. At least, yeah. I mean, that's great. And I'm not belittling that when I say it. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm not belittling it when I say it. Because our life is a life that is to be lived to his praise and his glory. And in doing that, we honour each other, and we uplift one another and bless one another and encourage and support one another, because that is what the kingdom of God is about. The people in the world looked at the church in Acts and said, wow, You know, they're caring for one another. This was alien to the mindset. And even today, in the generation that we live in, looking out for somebody, for the good of somebody, is alien. In the business world, it is be ruthless and kill your opponent as quick as you can. Take everything that they've got and get, you know, take it before they take it. I have great trouble in operating like that. Can't do it. You know, well, you haven't got the killer instinct to stay in business. That may be true in the world's mindset and the world's ways. I do not want the killer instinct to stay in business. Because if that's what it takes to do it and to live that and to be that in the world, then I don't want to live that lifestyle. Because it is alien, it is opposite against what God's Word teaches to me. And today I had a strange experience during the day. It's first thing this morning, I was going to this minister's meeting all half day. I jumped on the internet to check something from about the office. I had this strange email from America, from a company that we've been working for about 2.5 years. And it appeared that an email had come before it that we'd not seen or something. And we were being told that this company had bought out another big company and that all the product range was now available for Harvest Fields to distribute in the UK, and that previous distributors in the UK had all their rights and licenses now revoked, and that we were to be the distributor. And I went, what? Now, this product I looked at a number of years ago and said, I'd like to do that. But somebody beat us to it. So I said, fine. And we just, one day, Brian reminded me, Brian Cousins, he said, do you remember? He said, a couple of years ago, we went past that stand and he said, Lord, we'd like to do that. We'd like to do that product range. Just make a way, Lord, where there is no way. Not about being ruthless. If it be thy will, God, we've asked it, Lord, and if it's right, then bring it at the right time. And we've settled in with Universal, things are going tremendously well, and suddenly we've been given. Note the word, given. Another greater opportunity than what we previously had. And it's not about cutthroat, it's not about destroying somebody else, it's about being honourable and faithful to the word and letting the word do its work in you. And it's not easy, and it's been about righteous and true, and God begins to work, and you and I have to learn day by day to continue to do that. And as we do that, God will bless us mightily. And that today is a testimony of something real that's happened for us, and I just thank God for what he's doing. And I praise him for what he's done for us so far. And I know it's not about me being a smart businessman. It's not about me being a ruthless businessman. Because it's not in me. But that's okay. Because thankfully God's in me. And he's on my side. Because we've been faithful. I was still trawling down the internet. This really needs an interpretation. This, it's written in Old English. This is the oath of chivalry. It makes good reading, actually, but it does need, you know, there are letters look differently, S's don't look like S's and T's don't look like T's, and and the spellings are slightly different, so, and I've only picked it up just a few hours ago, so, but I even have problems even trying to read now. I've read it once or twice through. I do swear that while I have breath in my body, blood in my veins, and strength in my arms, I shall defend the realm against all foe, be they foreign, allegory, or traitors within. I struggled with that one before. And you know, it goes on in that line about protection and defense and protecting all who seek to bring harm. And the rule and reign of a knight and his servant was protection and honor, righteousness and truth. It's all back to biblical principles. The early knights were formed under great biblical principles, and the squires were also. And so the knights are an important thing to sort of focus on, in the sense they're bringing truth and upright. And I know you, there'll always be one that doesn't quite work out right, but that's okay. The Bible tells us to support, to encourage, and to strengthen and upgird those that are struggling. And God will, you know, it says, blessed are they that restore a brethren rather than destroy one.
Yeah.
You know, and it's about rest. And God's kingdom is about restoration. And being faithful in that restoration work, and God will honour each and every one as we do that. Where are you going? No, you're not. Praying for God appointed people to be added to the fellowship. And Grace mentioned about goats. Am I boring you? No. Well, it's all right then, just hold your water. Don't sup so much. Grace mentioned goats. One of the problems with goats is that goats eat everything in sight. And they destroy everything. You know, you plant a nice border of flowers and that, and you bring a goat in the garden, and it will eat all that, you know. So it just devours and destroys things basically, and brings everything to naught. And so you can see why God separates the sheep and the goats, and separates them out, because they are destroyers, and they don't obey the shepherd. They don't follow the shepherd. They do their own thing. They tell me you can't tame a goat in any way. They say the milk's wonderful and healthy for you, but apart from that, you know, you can't do a lot with a goat. It has this strong willed mind of its own, and it really is, can be a real pain. Eight was, no, you can give us some air or turn one of the heaters off. Praying that our leaders will be willing to invest their lives into the flocks and delegate responsibility. And I put a little note in there. Bear in mind, our leaders are all still learning kingdom principles. You know, they haven't arrived. We haven't arrived, because we are still learning kingdom principles. And as we will learn kingdom principles and continually and be teachable, then we will see God moving in a great way in our lives and in the future. And so our responsibility is to submit to God and submit to those who have the rule over us. And one of the things I'm going to express to you tonight again is that, you know, when somebody begins to stand at the front and begin to share, give them your attention. Give them your attention. If you've something to say, bring it. Give them your attention. It's honourable. It's righteous. It's good. Paul said, let there be order in the church. And as we bring our attention, we're focused, you see. We focus on worship, and we focus on where we're going. We focus on the word. We focus on when somebody's sharing their testimony, sharing their heart. We're listening, and we give it when we're being attentive to the word, because God might be just going to speak through a young man or a young woman, and we can miss it. And it's important that we be attentive to the word, because it is powerful. God might just want to drop two or three words out to you that can be dynamics that will change your life. Might be the word that you're just waiting for. And I've told the story before, but I'm going to remind you about it. Simple word, wheelbarrow. You will not find it in the Bible. I challenge you to find it. You will not find it. And a friend that my dad and I know, Keith, ex-alcoholic, drug addict was key. Thank you. Yeah, ex-alcoholic, drug addict, weren't he? And he fellowshipped in a brethren church, and they did not really believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Problem was with Keith, God didn't care. And she said, God, what I want you to do is in this meeting this morning, is that somebody this morning will say wheelbarrow. How often have you heard the word wheelbarrow preached in a message? I know you said, well, I've heard you say it a few times. Yeah, because I'll repeat this story, because I consider this story a great insight to what God can do. To when one of his children cry out and say, God, I need a word. And I need the word to be wheelbarrow. You know, it's like you. And then you see, it becomes the responsibility of the one who is listening, the squire, the armor bearer, who is listening to God. And God says to him, I want you to get up and I want you to say wheelbarrow. Now the church already thinks this guy's crazy because he's been an alcoholic, he's been on drugs, he's a bit unstable, you know, and he talks about the gifts of the Spirit and speaking in tongues, and we don't believe in that. That's now over and done, you see. That's what they thought. It's not what we believe. And that's not what he believed. And so he struggled all the way through this meeting with this word, wheelbarrow, 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 until in the end the ministry is about to close the service, and Keith comes rushing up to the platform to the ministry, says, I've got a word for somebody. So the minister says, yeah, do you want to give it? He says, well, he said, it's just wheelbarrow. Well, the minister probably was smart and thought, well, I ain't going to give it. He said, carry on, Keith. Come up. And Keith got up and shared this word. And he said, it's been with me all through the day, through the morning. And the word is wheelbarrow. I mean, that is really prophetic, isn't it? You know, I mean, that is dynamic, isn't it? You know, I have a prophetic word for somebody, wheelbarrow. Can you imagine what a congregation that is sceptical on the gifts of the Spirit would begin to do? Close the Bible, start zipping up the Bible cases, digging in the handbags, you know, he's done it again, hasn't he? Can you just picture what's going on? And this little 70, 80 year old lady puts her hand up. He's vindicated and God is glorified, and the lady has heard God for herself. Can you see the connections that are being made? One, to honour the servant, honour God, honour his word, and people will be blessed even with one word, wheelbarrow. And that is why I say to us, I've said it in the past, that when God speaks and God speaks to you, you stand up and you say, that's God's word to me. That's God speaking to me. Because it honours the Holy Spirit. We are here to give Him honour. We are here to give Jesus honour. We are here to give the Father honour. And everything that comes from that throne room, we are here to honour it. And the knights and the squires honoured their king, honour their Lord and their Master. And it's not about ruling over us, because they were serving with a willing heart. They chose. These people chose to serve. They were not forced into it. They were not slaves. You see, you could have knights who would elect to be a free knight, who would go through different countries and be a help to any country, any lord that he wanted to. But there were many knights who dedicated themselves to some lord and said, I will be your servant. I will be your knight. I will be your champion whenever you need me. There are tremendous principles, spiritual principles, that we need to catch hold of. And over these next few weeks, just ponder on those things. Realize that God is taking us to a higher level. Every one of us. And as we rise to the challenge, and as we practice hitting the target, and not just catching it off balance and then it cracking us at the back of the head, but hitting the target right on line, training with our weaponry, that we might be effective in the kingdom of God. That is what I believe God wants for you, wants for me, that we might be an example in this area of Doncaster and where we live, and a testimony, and that when we speak the word, we will speak the word of the Lord that is sharper than any two-edged sword, and will be life-changing to the people that we come into contact with. Amen.
I heard of a story one time that's similar to the wheelbarrow one. A woman on the way to church, an old lady on the way to church one morning, she had this scripture that she'd got stashed in her mind somewhere, and in this scripture was the word feathers. And as she's on the way to church one Sunday morning, there's a gang of yours coming up and threatening her, they were about to mug her and beat her up. And she wanted to suddenly use this scripture to try, you know, and she couldn't remember what it was. She could only remember to have the word feathers, so she just kept shouting, "Oh, feathers, feathers, feathers!" And these jewels looked at her, they thought she'd lost it. She was completely, she were a nutter, and they were scared of her suddenly, so they ran away and left her. So it worked.
Amen. See, sometimes it's about trusting God. And you know, sometimes God knows where we're at. And remember, there are angels set round about us, and to bless us, to take care of us. They are also armor bearers to us. You know, you see, we are to portray what is happening in the spiritual realm. We are to portray it in the realm of the physical. And right around us right now, each and every one of us has guardian angels.
Yeah.
That are waiting to do whatever you command them to do.
Yeah.
They just stood there. They're waiting for you to tell them what to do. They're caring for you. Underneath and round about are those everlasting arms that God has prepared to be before us. And the challenge is that, you know, we learn to live like that. Because we are a higher authority than even angels.
Mm.
And so we can do great things as well, but it's having that faith.
Mm.
It's having that trust. And it's pressing forward into that realm of the dynamics of the spiritual realm in God. And sometimes we have to do it practically, don't we?
Yeah.
And it's not always easy. But that's okay, because that is part of the outworking of the realm of the Spirit. If we're all just Spirit, Paul says it's all a waste of time. Paul says, I'll show you my faith by my works.
Mm.
You see, it's about practicalities. People today need to see it working.
Mm.
If they can't see it working, we live in an age where it's visual.
Mm.
And people watch, our biker friends watch us. They watch how we react, they watch how we respond to certain things, don't they? And then they hold you in whatever esteem you give to them. So I'll be encouraging that. Sorry, Andy.
Just while you're talking about the wheelbarrow, God's meant to be about the wheelbarrow, that it does have spiritual significance. Because a wheelbarrow has no function. Well, primary function is to carry a load. And the other thing is that the load cannot be taken away without some assistance.
Mm.
The wheelbarrow does not move on its own. God can move the load, take it away.
Amen. Praise God. God is a good God. He's the same yesterday, today and forever, and he changes not. But we have to change.
Mm.
And it's not easy. But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Only believe.
Yeah.
And as you do that, you and I will see the power of God changing and developing our lives. Mm. And we will be, and you and I will be a force to be reckoned with. Mm. Praise God.
Amen.
And so it's about that determination to press through and to break through. Mm. And let's give him all the praise and all the glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.